This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. So it's me. Dean's having a little bit of computer issues, but I think maybe after the break we'll be able to bring him onto the call. As you know, I am speaking from my home office in Prince Edward County on this beautiful, beautiful, crispy, clear day where the snow is just beautifully white and sparkling. And you know, what's kind of cool is that I don't normally get up very early. I'm not an early morning person, but I got up early this morning because, well, obviously I'm doing the show. And there I am standing in my kitchen making a coffee. And what's going through my backyard? But what I think is what's called a coy wolf. So it's not a coyote and it's not a wolf, but I think it's a cross between a coyote and a wolf because they do cross. All alone, obviously out loping along looking for a mouse or something to eat on this crispy day, but beautiful animal and not close enough where I could take any great pictures because down at the bottom of the yard, but yeah, just through my yard into the neighbor's yard. And yeah, I love it. I love some of the wildlife that we see out here, and it's just kind of magical. Let me share the numbers, and then I'm going to also share a few little other updates. Remember, I really want to hear from you. I love to hear your questions, your tips, your tricks, your techniques. If you're calling locally in the Toronto area, it's 416-360-0740. If you're calling from outside the GTA, it's 866-740-4740. Okay, so that's that. I just realized, so something else I'm doing here is I am, is that making a difference? No. I am also speaking over a headset for the first time. I got a call or an email from Dave Lasher, and he said that he was having trouble hearing me last week. He said everybody else's audio was fine, but mine was kind of low. So I thought, okay, let me try this. I've got a headset on with a little microphone, and let me know if it sounds any better or any worse. I'm happy to change up whatever I can along the way. Also, speaking of notes from people, a note from Heather Sinopoli, the very important person from the Riverdale Horticultural Society, wants to remind everybody that March the 9th, so coming up Wednesday, March 9th, Tina Van Andel will be sharing container gardening tips and tricks for balconies and porches and wherever you might want to garden in containers. Tina is not only extremely smart, but extremely entertaining. So you will enjoy her. And of course, everyone is welcome to join in via Zoom, 7 o'clock, Wednesday, March 9th. Just send a quick note to info@RiverdaleHorticultural. So one word, RiverdaleHorticultural.ca, and Heather will shoot you the Zoom link and you can tune in to Tina because she's, like I said, she's really quite fun. One other quick thing to share with you is last week I mentioned I saw a whole flock of robins in my backyard and I was kind of surprised, but I did get a note from Karen Whittington. And Karen, I did a little more research and she's absolutely right. The robins, apparently robins don't necessarily go south anymore. So they hang out in the forest, they hang out in the woods, staying, you know, sort of warm in the forest. And then when it's a nice day, they come out looking for food. So, of course, her point was they will eat berries. So throw any apple slices, blueberries, cranberries, anything you got kicking around, throw some of those out for the robins if you're seeing the same thing, flocks of robins. That was fun. So, more updates from the wild kingdom in Prince Edward County, and we'll be back right after this quick break.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yep, I'm back. Charlie Dobbin here, host of The Garden Show, heard every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., direct and live to you from the Zoomerplex. Of course, I'm not in the Zoomerplex. Carlos is, though, so thank you, Carlos. He's the one answering your calls and trying to ensure that everything runs as smoothly as possible. And I'm in my home office looking out the window on this gorgeous, gorgeous, crispy day. I hope everybody else is having as beautiful of a morning as I'm having. And we do have some callers on the line. So let's say good morning to Terry. She or he is calling from Owen Sound. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Very little.
Oh, my. I don't know why that is. Why is that, Carlos? Do we know?
That's
I can hear
better.
You fine.
The reason I'm calling, we've had a vegetable garden for well over 50 years. The last several years, we've a weed that's coming up there now, and I can't seem to get rid of it. It'll grow up, I think, in total maturity, to about three to maybe four inches. Mm-hmm. It will at times develop a very, very small, we think it's a white flower, and it really doesn't bloom as such. It's just ever so slight. Mm-hmm. And in the fall of the year when we go to clean up our garden, as soon as you touch this, it's like I say, it's in full maturity now. There's trillions of little black seed that'll fall off of it. I can hoe it out during the summer because it's not in full maturity. I can hoe it out, and it seems to come back. It's very, very, I'm going to call it a fibrous root as such. It'll mat.
Yeah. Does it grow like a vine? Like, is it long trailing stems?
Well, if it's the same weed or not, I don't know, but we have that as well. A neighbor girl had said, is that called a bindweed?
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Okay,
bindweed is famous. The leaves are very distinctive heart shape.
Okay, yes.
Okay. It's a hard one to annihilate. And that the black seeds make me think of that because bindweed is, if you're familiar with morning glory, a lot of us will grow morning glory as an ornamental. Of course, bindweed is the same genus, gets very small white flowers, and is a real, quite a nasty weed, hard one to annihilate. Almost, I wonder, would you be willing to forego planting vegetables for one season and solarize the entire bed, meaning cover that bed up with tarps or newspapers, cardboard, anything you can cover that bed with in order to stop growth in there and
bake those
weeds?
I know what you're saying. This garden, it's got to be 80 feet by roughly 60 feet in size. Now, we could do that in one
portion,
but it's starting to spread over the entire area. I've even in the spring of the year, as this weed starts to develop, I've even taken Roundup and sprayed
it. Yes, I was going to say, yeah.
And it'll turn yellow, and I thought, good, we've got a good kill. And it'll show up as the season progresses. I know in the fall of the year, when I, like I say, now it's in total maturity because you don't want to disturb any of your vegetables as such. You can just pull that out by hand, sort of thing. It's somewhat easy to lift. There's a lot of work involved doing so, but I'm just kind of wondering if you've ever heard of it before. Is there a cure to get that out of the garden?
Well, like I said, you obviously know. You can dig it. You can chemically treat it with something like Roundup. And just so you know, Roundup is more effective early in the season on young weeds than it is on more mature weeds. So if you're going to try Roundup, do it before you plant any vegetables. Remember, Roundup works by contacting the green leaves of the plant you want to kill. So obviously you don't want to put Roundup on anything you don't want to kill. So before you get planting anything into the garden, use Roundup, spray the green, let it sit for 2-3 days. It'll start to see some yellow. That's fine. Spray again. Make sure there's no rain in the forecast, but do be prepared, because when you've got really established weeds, it's harder to kill them. It's slower, but the younger they are, the more successful you're going to be. And then option three, like I said, Terry, it's solarization.
I'm sorry, what did you say at the end?
The third option would be the solarizing. So that's tarping and blocking the sun. Solarizing is a form of baking the soil and killing the weeds. It does months, though. It will take all season. So you won't do any planting if you're using that technique in your vegetable garden. All right?
And that's what you're going to label that as, is what we've been told, maybe a bindweed.
I believe so. I believe so, yes. Okay. Convallarius, yes. A convolvulus. So it is it's a form of morning glory. But yeah, it's a really big problem in agriculture too. So they do use some pretty toxic chemicals farmers do, because bindweed will annihilate a corn crop. It'll just grow all over everything. So, all right, thanks. Good luck with that, Terry. Let us know how that sorts out. And we do, fortunately or unfortunately, need to step into the world of our sponsors just for a few minutes and see what's going on with them. And we'll be right back after this.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to The Garden Show. And welcome to me to The Garden Show. Holy cow. Yeah, had some technical fun stuff happening at my place here in Collingwood this morning. I'm going to give those numbers out. Okay, 416, because we would love for you to call us if you're anywhere in Toronto. 416-360-0740. Or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And how are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm excellent. I guess you are so busy sweating, trying to get your computer going. You probably didn't hear my intro, but I mean, it's wildlife world here.
Yeah, I did actually hear a little bit. You said it was some kind of a koi fox?
A koi wolf. So it's a coyote wolf hybrid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that at all.
Unless it was a coyote, but I don't think it was. I think it was because it's bigger than a... So coyotes and wolves can mate, breed, give birth to babies. So coyotes aren't very big. A koi wolf is bigger, and they have a different shape face. So really interesting. Beautiful animal, though. Just went loping through looking for some breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I know, it's okay. Fun.
So we've got a caller on the line there.
We do, from Mississauga.
From Mississauga. Yes, we have Anne from Mississauga. Mm-hmm. How are you this morning, Anne?
I'm great, thank you.
Good morning.
Nice and cold and snowy where you are, I'm sure, Anne.
Oh, yeah. I sent, just to let you know, I sent you a few photographs this morning on an email, but I'm not sure you would have had a chance to look at those. But I'm having problems growing a cedar, an emerald cedar, in a particular spot. And to give you some history, I had two really old emerald cedars that were huge. They were 30, 40 years old around my pool, and they were overgrowing the pool. So I took the two large ones out, and I replaced it with 5 or 6 more of about 6 foot each. And all of them have done fine, except this one particular spot. And it's getting really frustrating because I've replaced that cedar probably 3 times. I'm going to replace it again this spring. It's kind
same
of in the
spot.
One from the end, but it's and it's got a slight slope at the back, but hardly anything. But I was wondering whether the moisture, the rain was running off. So last year I actually put a little border around the back and just put some soil on to try and build it up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I've had it, this one lasted actually a little longer, about a year or so, but then it turned totally brown.
I'm looking at the photos you sent me. It is rather distinctively rusty compared to all the beautiful green ones, green cedars on either side of it.
Yeah.
For sure, you want to make sure that the soil is not washing away.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is there any possibility, like I see it's right close to your pool house, is there any possibility that there's something going on, I don't know, chlorine, heat, something that's affecting that cedar that's part of the pool mechanism?
I wondered that myself, whether I can't see anything, but I don't know what's underground there, you know what I mean, underneath the, because when I dig, I mean, and I actually, last time I got the nursery to plant it, I planted enough, never had a problem, so I got the nursery to do it, and it's still, like, I thought about that, but the one next to it, right next to the pool shed is fine, but it could be something, I guess, you know, that's bypassing that.
When was this planted, this one you're showing me in the photograph? What time of year?
In the spring.
In the spring, okay, good. Because I was going to say, emerald cedars are always better planted in the spring. Yeah. So, you know what? If there's no obvious insects, I mean, you know, obviously check closely, look for, and I mean, everybody's really healthy except the one cedar.
Yeah.
So number one, we could blame that plant and say, just get another one. Number two would be to take a soil test and send a soil sample off to one of the accredited soil labs that are affiliated with OMAFRA, so the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food and Rural Affairs, OMAFRA. If you Google that, and soil labs, your closest will be in Guelph, and you'll just send them a quick email, and they'll tell you exactly how to collect a sample, where to send it, and then what it will cost you to give a bit of an analysis. Because if there's nothing else obvious, I'd look to the soil.
Yeah, because I can't blame the plant, because I put three in there, and I'm about to get my fourth. The only thing was, when I got these plants, they were like concrete, the bowl underneath, so I had to really try and moisten it, and I've never had a problem planting cedars.
Right. No, they look good, all except that one.
Time,
yeah, I know.
I'll try a pot, maybe. One in a pot as well. I was going to try that.
Right. Well, so, I mean, all you could do is try to replace again. Use a magnifying glass to really study the plant that you're purchasing, that you're going to be planting in there. And, you know, obviously plant properly, get in some either plant start type fertilizer to get the roots growing, water, of course, or use something like Mike's or Root Rescue, get the roots growing. It's all about roots when we first plant things, right?
Yeah.
And see if it works again. I mean, sometimes there is such a thing as a bum plant. Like, you know, it looks good when it arrives and then it just does not thrive. And it's not always our fault. Sometimes it's just a bum plant.
Which I would have thought, but it's just, I've replaced it so many times.
I know. It gets frustrating. So that's why I say, go to the soil. If it's that's your next option, is figure out what's going on in that spot.
Great.
All right. Thanks for calling. And, you know, maybe consider, I'm just looking at the photograph here, maybe you need to put like a bird feeder there instead of a cedar, or a sculpt piece, or like a tall sculpture or something, like an obelisk with something growing. I don't know. Just if sometimes we just say, okay, I can't grow a plant there, but I need something there. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks for the call in. Well, that's frustrating, but I would agree with the both of you. If you're on, you know, cedar number three, you think it's probably something in the actual spot.
Yeah, in the environment. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, no, because all the others look great in the photograph.
Yeah.
So.
Got to tell you, I like your new headset there, Charlie. You look like you're taking us on a flight. Look like a pilot.
I was thinking, I remind myself of, you know, back on the Laugh-In. You're too young to remember a
TV show called Laugh-In. Oh, no, Laugh-In. Goldie Hawn and, Dick Martin, Dick Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. Great
show. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the phone operator, because back in the day, I did run
Lily,
that phone.
Lily Tomlin, yeah.
It was. I ran a big telephone board for a real estate company when I was a teenager. It was all press, it was buttons. It wasn't pressing in plugs. But yes, that's who I remind myself of. Do I sound better to you?
I think, you sound a bit clearer. And also because sometimes you turn away from the computer to reference the photos or those type of things. Then, of course, the mic stays with you. The proximity is always the same.
That's my thinking.
I think it is better. Charlie, I have a quick email that I just want to, that we got, made me laugh. because I was talking about my amaryllis last week, and I was asking you if I could, you know, keep it and if I could get it going for years to come. So it says here, it's from Alice. Hi, Charlie. My husband has three amaryllises that he's babied since last fall and planted them just after Christmas. It's been fun having something alive in the house to watch grow. I'm sending you these as your helper. I think I'm the helper. I'm the helper. If he could do this, well, it does work, and they end up being beautiful. It's been fun to watch every day when it's so cold and snowy outside, and she says she loves the show.
Yeah, and basically I think what she's sharing with us is that her husband has babied, but also he's kept these amaryllis going for more than 1 year. So remember, that was part of what you were asking last week is, do I have to compost my amaryllis or can I keep it? And of course, Alice's point is that if her husband can do it, you can do it.
Okay. <woo-hoo. laughs> I did chop off the flower, which became very hollow and not very strong. But I have to tell you, those leaves are very, very strong and very, very green. So, as soon as the warm weather comes, we'll get that out there.
Frost-free. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. We're going to Cheryl. We've got a call from Cheryl. She is just in my neighboring community of Wasaga Beach. How are you this morning, Cheryl?
I'm good. Nice to hear everyone's voices.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Exactly. What do you got for us this morning, Cheryl?
Well, I'm in the beach. You know what the beach is like. The beach is sand.
I do.
Sand, and more sand. However, I would like to put a garden down the side of my driveway. And what my question is how much sand would I have to remove and put good soil in to hopefully grow something? How deep do I need to go?
Well, okay, a couple of things. Depends what you want to grow, because some plants are far more tolerant of well-drained soil or what we would call droughty conditions than others. So if you are prepared to stay with drought-tolerant plants, I'm thinking sedum, hens and chicks, yucca, good looking year round plants, but not, lush. I mean, even roses love a well-drained soil, but maybe you'd say, well, I don't know if I want roses right along the edge of the driveway. They might be thorny. So, just depending on what plants you are dreaming about, I would try to not, remove too much soil, but definitely plan to amend your existing soil with 100% organic matter. So not necessarily topsoil, but preferably composted manure or, homemade compost, just 100% organic matter to help hold moisture in that sandy soil.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
But choose drought tolerant plants. Go to Google and say, and I imagine your driveway's open and sunny. So you're going to be looking for, sun and drought tolerant choices that will work along that driveway and sort of soften up the edge there.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl brings up a very good point that I think we've chatted about on the show before, Charlie. Before we do that, let me give out the numbers again. 416-360-0740 if you live anywhere in Toronto or anywhere else in the province of Ontario. 1-866-740-4740. It is a toll-free number. Now, I don't know. Did you tell them in the opening of the show, of course, about the garden wings there, Charlie? Did you mention that? No, I forgot them.
Yeah.
So if it's a first time caller, if you are a first time caller, please let Carlos know, because then we give you your garden wings, and we love to give those out. And of course the mantra, call often, call early, and one question per call, please. Cheryl brought to mind something that we've chatted about, and that is, I think we try, some of us try so hard to plant things that we want to be in a spot, but aren't necessarily good for that spot. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of merit in trying to figure out what is good for your area and your soil type.
Well, exactly. And I think, again, another mantra to kind of absorb by everybody listening is the right plant in the right place and you will be successful.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because I will say somebody in my family No names mentioned. I want this to grow here, but it's a full sun plant. But the place they wanted it only got, you know, 2 hours of sunlight a day. And I thought, well, it doesn't matter how much you want it to be there. I think it would look great. It's probably not going to grow.
No, so we need to come up with a different location because honestly, you know, spring is coming and we're all itching to get out and get dirty and get planting. And you know what happens in the next 2-3 months to all of us is we're in our car, we're going somewhere, we suddenly see the garden center, it's got a whole bunch of beautiful flowers, and we, you know, slam on the brakes, pull in, and very impulsively buy a whole bunch of stuff with no concept of where we're going to put it. So try to not do that. Try to shop with a list. What I try and do is I say to myself, okay, I know I'm going to put a planter at my front door, and my front door gets lots of sun. It's western facing. So I'm going to choose plants for that planter, which are going to be absolutely sparkling in all that sun. Now, in the back of my house, I've got planters as well, and they only get 2 hours of morning sun. So I'm going to choose plants for those planters that are going to tolerate much lower light. So shop by the what you're, you know, where you're planting and know your microclimates.
Gotcha. Okay, you're going to go to Cambridge right now. We have a caller on the line. Lorraine is waiting with a question. How are you this morning, Lorraine?
I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
Great.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
I just wondered how you are too.
We're going on? Keeping cozy. What's going on there, Lorraine?
Okay, I have ground elder, both variegated and plain growing. The variegated I planted in a very controlled area. The other one has just come over from the neighbors, and I like to get rid of it. And it's really hard to do so. I wonder if I have to do the same thing.
As what we were talking about with the first caller, you mean?
Yes.
Right. So elder, which is a shrub, it's a native plant. It is very, very, very vigorous, for lack of a better term. And it's, you don't want it. You know what? So the elder that's coming from the neighbors, it's come from underground. So these are suckers that are coming from the neighbors, right?
Right.
And they're popping up above ground. Is it coming into a garden? Is that part of the problem? Or is it coming into the lawn?
It's into their lawn and it's coming into my garden.
Mm, so they don't want it either, by the sounds of it.
Well, no, I don't know. I actually have to talk to her to see if I do that solarization, see if I, that would be, they've just moved in and don't know about gardening. So I was wondering, if that would be the way to go.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, you have to do it together because you have to try and kill the entire plant. Otherwise, it won't work if they're all attached underground. And you'd have to cut it down as low to the ground as you possibly can and then cover it with a preferably dark plastic tarpaulin. And you have to seal the edges so no light can get in under the tarp. And the plant will try to grow. And particularly if it's got green leaves on the other side of the fence, it's going to keep growing and just push your tarp right up into the sky. So you might even find, now it's not really legal for me to suggest this because Roundup is available, but it's only available for noxious weeds.
Yes,
elder is not on the noxious weed list, as far as I know. It is something that changes quite often, though. So Sambucus is the genus for elder. And it's possible that it's on the noxious weed list, but I doubt it because it's a native plant and it's a really wonderful plant to support wildlife and birds and all that, those various bits of biodiversity out there. So we love it for that. But it can be super, super invasive. So Roundup early in the spring on the green leaves, on your green leaves, your neighbor's green leaves, everybody's green leaves, is more likely to kill the entire plant than really probably solarization will.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks very much for the call, Lorraine. Okay, we're going to go to a break, but before that, I'm going to give those numbers out again, 416-360-0740. That's a Toronto number. Anywhere else in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland, and I'm here with garden expertise goddess, Charlie Dobbin.
I like to call myself that, you know, the goddess of the garden.
The goddess of the garden. I'm there with you. We are going to go directly to Orangeville, and we are going to talk to Carol. How are you this morning, Carol?
I'm great. How are you?
We're great, too. Yeah, what do you got for Charlie there, my dear?
I have a wild rose hedge. It's about 25 years old, 5 feet high, 20 feet long, and 4 feet wide. And I planted it all those years ago, and I've done nothing. And last fall, I noticed there's some kind of a weedy bush right in the middle. So I'm going to have to try and get in there to dig it out before it takes over. I was just wondering, how short can I cut the canes that are around it? Because I will have to. They're so sharp. I don't want to rip my skin off or anything. But
I was going to say, that's painful to go in there and try and start weeding in a rose hedge. So you know what I would do? How does it look? Like, is it still giving you lots of beautiful flowers and it's thick and bushy and all that important stuff?
Yes,
or is it a bit
it's
scraggly?
It's gorgeous.
Sorry, say that again?
It's gorgeous.
Okay.
The hedge is gorgeous. It's full of flowers. It smells wonderful in the evenings. Mm-hmm. And this bush has sort of reddish stems, and it just sort of blended in, and it wasn't till the fall when I realized, oh, there's something foreign in here.
Because many hedges will get tired at some point, meaning that they haven't been pruned really at all, and there's a lot of dead wood, and particularly at the bottom, older canes, whether it's privet hedge or a rose hedge, there's that sort of old, gnarly, woody growth that isn't really adding a lot of sort of beauty to the hedge. And one of the things we will do is to rejuvenate the entire hedge is cut the whole thing down, and you can certainly do that in the early spring. And you can cut it down literally to about 4 inches tall if you want. Now, and it will grow back. It won't grow back the first year, but it'll be back to 5 feet tall within 2 or 3 years, not a problem. But your issue of that one weed means you could still go into that one area, cut it right down to 4 inches tall, and get that weed out. But it's going to look weird because the hedge is going to have this big hole in it where you have had to cut it down, and the rest will still be up at the 5 foot height. So I would be inclined to cut it all down. I would do a rejuvenation of the whole thing. Now, you don't have to go as low as 4 inches. Take it all down to a foot tall if you want. And at that time, look for weeds, get anything out, but then do some amending with some organic matter. Get some composted manure, get some good quality triple mix, you know, get some, whatever, leaf mulch, anything like that, homemade compost, get that in around the base of the plants.
Okay, that was my other question, because I did that when I planted everything, and then I haven't done a thing to it.
Sure,
Okay, so that's what I did. It will come back.
Yeah, go. They're once established, they're very tough. You can be pretty brutal on some of the hedge plants, and it sounds lovely what you've got going on there. I mean, I just love the idea of a fragrant hedge. It's just perfect.
Okay. Great. Thanks for the question there, Carol.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, we're going to go directly south of, just a little bit south of Orangeville to Georgetown. We've got Sheila on the line. How are you this morning, Sheila?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. You got a question for Charlie there?
Yeah, we have extreme winds in Georgetown, and our wooden fence got blown down, and we've finally got a company to put in a metal fence for us. And what we have with my neighbors is we each of us have a stone wall on the very edge of each of our back gardens with a trough, which right now the metal fence is in. And I was thinking if I could fill it up with soil and put in climbing plants, I would really love to get some suggestions from Charlie on the best climbing plants to put in.
Okay, so the metal fence, is that a chain link fence you've put in?
No, it's just a metal rod fence.
Oh, so like almost like a wrought iron, vertical, black, whatever. So there are things that will, okay, and so you mentioned a trough. So another name for that trough is a swale where the fence is. And I imagine that swale or trough is there for the movement of water to move between your properties, or literally between your properties. Am I correct?
Yes, and we back onto a park, so there's a pond behind us.
Okay, and the fence is across the back or between the two properties?
Between the two properties.
Right, and the stone fence is across the back. And it's in lots of sun, I imagine.
Pardon?
Lots of sun?
Oh, full sun. Both our gardens are south-facing.
So depending on whether you want a perennial vining plants or annual flowering plants, there are some really good options in the annual group. Annual meaning they'll only live for 1 year. One is morning glory, which you would plant by seed. The other are sweet peas, which you would also plant from seed. They'll grow very quickly. Many people love to grow scarlet runner beans from seed. They grow super fast. You get the red flowers, you also get beans. And these are plants that will twine and twirl and go up the fence. You are going to have to probably give them an initial training to go up. But once they're up there, they'll stay up there. In the perennial group, everybody loves clematis or clematis. Again, we'll need some training to stay up on the fence, but would be a very beautiful choice. Some of the clematis are, there's so many different kinds out there. Some of them are things like Jack Manny that bloom like crazy in the middle of the summer, but then there's a few other varieties that bloom early in the spring and then bloom again late in the summer. So there's some that bloom twice a year. So there's quite a lot of clematis choices if you wanted to go that route. I love silver lace vine. Silver lace vine can be extremely vigorous, but beautiful white flowers late in the summer. So nice honeysuckle, wonderful, particularly the red flowering honeysuckle. You'll have hummingbirds coming like crazy to those flowers. And then you get the berries, of course. So robins and various birds that love berries will eat the honeysuckle berries. So, yeah, there's lots and lots of choices out there. You've pretty much got a big palette of plants to choose from.
Okay. And what do you think about roses? How is a climbing rose? Is it hard to grow?
No, I think the only reason I didn't mention roses is because roses do not twine or hold on themselves. So there is a fair amount of maintenance because they will grow the tall canes. But if you are as windy as you said, you are going to be out there tying those canes to the fence often. It'll be a certain amount of maintenance. And then, of course, roses do need a certain amount of maintenance anyway when it comes to pruning. But no, roses are great. They love full sun. They'll do great in a windy, sunny location. They don't want to be in a wet spot, though, so you've got to make sure it's not a soggy area where you're planting them. They prefer a better drainage rather than poorer drainage. But you will need to, like I say, tie them up to hold them onto the fence.
Great. Thanks so much for the call there, Sheila. Good luck with that. I have to go to a break, and when we come back, we have some more callers on the line.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here with Charlie Dobbin, and I am going to go right to a caller. We've got a first-time caller from Hamilton.
Yes.
We've got Brad on the line. How are you this morning, Brad?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm going to quickly give you your garden wings, sir. You have earned them.
There
you
well, go. Very much.
Welcome
what
to
do you
the
got
show.
Charlie?
I just wanted to find out. I have a big front lawn out front, and I keep it pretty good, and I seed it a lot. But the last 2 years, I'd be getting, it looks like that creepy Charlie in it. And at first, it was only a little bit, and I would just pull it out. But it's coming up in all different spots now. Is there anything to get rid of it, or is there a better way of controlling it?
Not really. This is very similar to our very first caller. Terry was calling about his vegetable garden where he's just got this noxious perennial weed. And if you've got that same thing happening in your lawn, you can pull it. You can spray. There are vinegar-based herbicides that you can use, but of course they will also kill the lawn, so you have to be very careful when you are spraying. You're going to have to spray more than once and spray early in the season to be more effective, or you can bury or solarize those weeds, but it's a bit tricky when it's in a lawn. Digging is probably your best choice.
I try to pull it out, and which I do. I get a little tiny hand rake, and you know how they spread out all over and rake it up and pull it out. But I just thought maybe there was an easier way.
No, I wish. I wish there was.
It sounds like a great retirement project to me.
Yeah, I know. All right. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks for the question there, Brad.
Sorry. I wish I could be more helpful. Take a bottle of wine. Everything's easier with a bottle of wine.
All right. Have a great weekend. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Brad. I've got another first-time caller on the line. We're going to go to Kitchener right now. I've got Eileen. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Here are your garden wings.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
I've got a question. I was out one to a nursery, and I saw this Christmas cactus orange. Now, I've had it for 2 years. It's beautiful, big. But it does not flower. Now, I've got a regular Christmas cactus, a deep pink one, and it flowers. In fact, it just got a few more buds on now. What can I do to get this orange one to flower?
It's just being tricky and mean to you because it can, you know? I think what you got to do is remember what the Christmas cactus really want. Full sun. Only water when bone dry. And if you can give that plant cool temperatures, particularly cool temperatures at night when there's no sunlight on it, you are more likely to see flower buds form. Also, the orange ones will be a newer variety. It's been selected for that color, right? It's a special peachy orange. It's very, very beautiful.
Yeah.
But and fertilizer, you know, not a lot, but a flowering plant fertilizer once a month.
I've done that. And they're outside all summer, and I keep them in the sun and shade, but it does not flower. It's 2 years old.
Huh. Well, then start threatening it. Tell it the composter is looking like a really good spot for it to go, and you bought it for its flower, so get flowering. You know what's one of the best ways to get plants to flower, too, is neglect. Just absolutely neglect it. Do not water it again. Just leave it for the next 6 months and never give it water. And I bet you it will flower. Because very often the neglected plants are the ones that will suddenly sprout all kinds of flowers. So stop loving it so much and ignore it.
Okay? Thanks for the call there, Eileen. Okay, Charlie, you have just made my day a little bit more difficult because this morning my wife said to me, she said, oh, excuse me, she says, I have kept many of our plants alive over the years from pure neglect.
Yes, she's absolutely right. No, more plants are killed with too much love and too much water than any other reason. Obviously, Eileen isn't killing that plant with too much water, but I bet you she's keeping it too happy. So we want to make it a little bit unhappy, and you're more likely to see flowers. It's just the way it works.
I've just thought of a line of work for myself. You know, I thought, you know, I'm sure they have horse whisperers. We have dog whisperers. I could be the plant threatener. I could go around houses, and I could say, look, you are going to end up in the compost.
That's right.
I could have people pay me to come to their house and threaten the plants.
It sometimes works, trust me. Hey, speaking of flowering plants, anybody out there have a forsythia shrub? That's the shrub the yellow flowers in the spring. Today is a beautiful day to get outside, get your sharp pruners, do some pruning on that forsythia because you probably need to. They get so big. Bring in what you've pruned off, stick it in a vase, and watch it flower inside and brighten up your winter day with some bright spring flowering shrubbery.
Really?
Perfect day for it. Yeah.
So you can go out this time of year. Like, we're not even at March yet. You can go out in the dead of winter, and you can do that.
Yeah, with forsythia you can.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I had no idea.
So on that note, thank you, Dean. Thanks for getting around to joining us a little late.
Well, I had to have my coffee. I wasn't finished.
Thanks again, Carlos, for all your help. Great callers. Love to hear from you. Keep those calls coming. Keep those questions coming. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.